This podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not medical professionals and do not provide medical advice. Consult a healthcare provider for any health concerns. Opinions expressed are not a substitute for professional medical guidance.
This edition of the Optimize We podcast is brought to you by the Biohacking Index. Visit biohackingindex.com for ratings and reviews of your favorite wellness solutions and wellness providers. Hello and welcome to the Optimize We podcast, where we share biohacking truths without the BS. I'm your host, Lindsay O'Neill, and today I am joined by a very special woman who's doing some very special things for a lot of women and a lot of people out there who have suffered in silence and in shame for way too long. I am so excited to welcome to the show today Johanna Dahlman, who is the CEO and founder of Alopecia Angel. She is a trailblazer in all things health and biohacking, but specifically around hair loss. This is a huge topic, so I'm really excited to have you here today, Johanna.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, you have a very cool background. You've traveled all over the world. You've lived in how many countries?
Five, six countries.
And your story began really when you were living abroad. So tell me a little bit about your background.
I traveled abroad extensively. I've lived in Argentina, Brazil, China, Spain, Europe, and Japan, of course. And what had happened was I was diagnosed with alopecia actually in the States. I was going and coming back because my life was picking up again. I had just met my husband and future husband. We were engaged. And so he was taking me to Europe, to the Netherlands in particular. But before I was heading out, I was, you know, getting my hair done and doing all the things. And that's when my life just halted in many ways. Because of this transition, I was in limbo. I had no health insurance in the US because I was, you know, picking up and leaving. And then I had no health insurance in the Netherlands because by the time you have to, you know, have a visa and then have to get that through, and then you can get health insurance. So I was literally in limbo. And so due to this, I was seeing doctors both in Europe and in the US with no results, with no help, and with no one to be able to help me, guide me, or even give me a glimmer of hope as to A, why I have alopecia areata, to why I'm losing my hair when I'm in my early 30s in my prime, super fit and healthy, and see how to get the healing and reverse this. And again, you know, the doctors in Europe were no help. The doctors in California and in Denver, they wanted to give me an arsenal of pharmaceuticals. And that wasn't the path I wanted to take, especially because I had just met my husband. We were, you know, wanting to start a family and do all the things. And so because I wanted to protect my fertility, most important to me, I didn't want to take the medications. I started doing the research and saw that a lot of these medications for hair loss can harm other parts of your health, other organs, and of course, fertility for both men and women, and of course, sexual function. And so all these concerns led me to take a different approach. And my background being in tech and having worked at Apple for many years, I decided to take another route. I decided that there must be a third door. There must be another alternative that hasn't been either spoken about, discovered, or even really talked about. And so this is what led me on my quest to healing.
When I first saw your picture, I thought to myself, wow, that is a head of hair. You have gorgeous, gorgeous hair. And I always remember my mom growing up. My mom had thinning hair. Less, I think, alopecia and more hormonal. There's lots of different reasons why you could lose your hair. But every time we would see someone like you with a full head of curly hair, she would always say, oh, God, I wish I had that head of hair. And I always thought to myself, you know, beauty is your hair. That's where you first identify with your beauty. And it's stressful enough to move to another country. It's stressful enough to start a new relationship and to want to start a family, right? And to go from working at a big global corporation to now following your husband. He's a basketball player, right? A professional basketball player?
Retired now, correct.
Yeah. But back then, you know, you were basically going there for him and you didn't know anybody. You didn't have any family that I know of in the Netherlands.
Correct.
And so that's stressful. Do you think that the stress of that triggered an autoimmune reaction?
Oxidative stress is something that triggers a lot of diseases in general, and it definitely plays a part in how my body was responding. But at the same time, I'd like to say that things have been brewing before. No one is just diagnosed with cancer. No one is just having hair loss triggered by one thing. This is something that has been brewing before behind the scenes. And it's only now that we pay attention, if that makes sense, right? Because of the diagnosis. But had I not been diagnosed by my hairstylist that day in the salon, I would have just kept going on my merry way, not even thinking or giving this bald spot an importance. And so that could have happened at any salon, but it could also not have happened. And so being diagnosed at the salon was helpful. But at the same time, you know, now that I know, and having spoken at various beauty schools and cosmetology schools, I know that hairstylists only learn a paragraph about what alopecia is and tell their clients, you need to go see a doctor. When in reality, that led me on a longer journey than I should have taken. It also took me to conventional methods, which are not the healing, and there's no guarantee in terms of hair loss. And so it misguided me in a little bit, but at the same time, you know, sometimes the journey is what it is, and you take it for what it's worth, and you make the best out of it.
Yeah, usually the journey is the most important part, right? It's not where it's what you learn and how you journey along the way. So did you have hair like this before your diagnosis?
I did. I can show you before and after pictures. I did have hair like this. And like I said, I had a personal trainer. I lived in Miami. I was feeling, looking my best. I was absolutely the poster child of health and had abs to show for it. And granted, my perspective of health was the physical aspect, the outside look of it. And I had the hair, I had amazing skin, the physique, the mental agility. I was working at a Fortune 100 company, traveling a lot for them and having great results. And so I didn't see any blind spots until I started digging further, until I started looking beneath the surface. And many times I like to say hair loss is the check engine light, that there's something more to it. And we need to have a thorough diagnosis, have a thorough diagnostic in terms of looking at all the pieces to health, to hair, and to see where we can improve. And I think that mistake of assuming that because everything on the outside looked great, that everything on the inside should be just as fantastic when it wasn't.
It's very much how I'm able to know if I'm in good health or not. It actually mostly through my skin, but also through my hair. When I see big clumps of hair coming out and, you know, I'm constantly having to clean the drain in the sink, I have to check in with myself, not just with my physical health, my internal health, but also with my emotional health. I find that, like you were saying, stress, oxidative stress is a major contributor to hair loss.
Absolutely. Oxidative stress, inflammation. I mean, the list goes on. But the true key here is, what does this look like for each person? Because it will show up and be different for each person. You know, for me, in many ways, my diet was on point because I had the abs. You know, when you have the physique, the diet is there. But however, when you have the hair loss, then you have to look further. You have to look. And I think this is where the third door option comes in, because it's not so black and white. It's not just, oh, just take this supplement and you'll be fine. It's not just, you know, do the PRP or the laser cap and you'll be fine. It's not just do the minoxidil and you'll be fine. That's not how I look at healing hair loss. It's more of, let's investigate further. Let's look at your diet. Let's look at your lifestyle. Let's look at, you know, the past 10, 15, 20 years of your life and see where all these things have brought you to today, because that's the reality, is that your past has a say into your present. And then today we also have a say into our future. And so there's a lot of transition there, but we have to look at everything and not just your current status, but then also your future goals too. Just like me, I wanted my hair, but I also wanted my family. I also wanted to have children. And so we're not, everyone is at that same stage of life. And so taking into consideration everyone's health goals is also part of my approach to healing.
And you're right. It is very much bio-individual, and you do have to look backwards. One of the things that I when I had my massive autoimmune issue is that my hair fell out. I actually had a huge clump of hair in the back, and my hairstylist was the one that found it. The same hairstylist that I saw earlier today to get, you know, a natural glaze and blowout. But she was like, you know, what are you? Are you stressed? Are you anxious? My genes, my genetics, you know, my mom always had thinner hair. One of my daughters has thinner hair. My grandmother was a beautician. My cousin's a beautician. Like, there's a lot of hairstylists and hair-focused people in my family. But there's also autoimmune that runs through my genetics. And I've always heard that your genetics load the gun, but it's your diet, lifestyle, and other things that you do in your life that pull the trigger. And that was very much the case for me. And it sounds like it was very much the case for you. And how many people suffer from alopecia? There's got to be millions of people that are suffering from hair loss.
Millions. According to 2025 statistics, around 6.5 to 8 million people in the U.S. alone suffer from autoimmune alopecia. And I believe that number is actually higher, only because there are so many children that are diagnosed on a regular basis, and who knows if they're accounted for. The thing is with alopecia, it affects children, women, men of all races and ethnicities. It's not necessarily focused on one type of person. However, autoimmune diseases, as you may know, do affect 80% more likely women than they do men. And so this is a staggering situation, and the focus on women's health is so needed.
It really is. I mean, I have a lot of women in my household. There's a lot of hair in the drain in my household. My fiance is bald. And so, you know, I feel like men can kind of get away with it too. There's a stigma, a shame factor that comes along with losing your hair as a woman.
Yes, there is a big stigma. And, you know, for many people, it's their crown. For many people, it's their identity. And that was the case for me. Having big curly hair is a part of who I am. It's just like having brown squinty eyes. That's me. You know, being loud, and that's me. That's part of who I am. And so taking that away takes away a piece of you, takes away a piece of your identity, takes away a piece of your personality, takes away a piece, in my case, of my boldness. You know, I was having the hair loss and I became a shell of myself. I didn't want to go out. Being the extrovert that I am, I wanted to stay in. Many times I couldn't muster the strength to even leave or even go to the gym. I would just sit on the gym floor without the strength, without the energy, without the motivation to even get on the treadmill and walk. And this was not me. You know, you can hear it now, even in my voice, how energetic I am. And so during this 4-year stance of alopecia, it was absolutely horrific how it wasn't just hair loss. It was also a tsunami of symptoms. It was a tsunami of lethargy and depression, anxiety, memory loss, insomnia, all of these things that you would think would happen, quote unquote, to an older person or should be happening to my 89-year-old grandmother was actually happening to me. And so this was scary to be, quote unquote, in your prime, in your early 30s, and to have all these symptoms happen all at once. It was also a process to understand that if I had dry eyes, I couldn't fix it with just, you know, little
eye drops.
Eye drops. Thank you. With little eye drops. You know, if I had dry skin, lotion wasn't ever going to be enough. This was an internal process that I had to really look thoroughly within, be able to exude the health and vibrance that I have now.
And you are healthy and vibrant and beautiful. And
thank you.
I mean, you have a great smile, great head of hair, but what you're doing because of all that you've gone through is even more impressive. And that really elevates you to a whole other level, because you should have the focus on you. You should have the camera on you. You should have the microphone, because you've done what many people say to be impossible. And you've mentioned a couple times now working for Apple and choosing that third door. Many people don't know that the mentality when you're working for Apple is that you don't look at things linearly. You know, you don't look at what's in the box. You are constantly thinking outside of the box. And that's one of the reasons why you are able to figure out something that's almost not figure outable. Look at how many people are still suffering from this in 2025, when there's, you know, a pill for every ill and shots, and now there's alternative medicine, even peptides and all this other stuff. But you still have to treat the individual. So tell us a little bit about how you healed yourself and now what you do for others.
You know, my process was a lot of research, investigation, trial and error, and really making it my job. The beauty, in hindsight, of being in transition was that it allowed me more time to focus on my healing. So it became my one obsession. It became my one job. Finding a job in Europe, going back to corporate, was actually not as easy as I thought it would be, even having Apple on my resume. They almost didn't believe it, because no one worked for Apple in the EU. That's actually in Ireland, for where their headquarters are at. In any case, I made it my job to heal myself. So I had 16, 18-hour days to focus on it. And that's what I did. And so throughout the 4 years, it was continuous improvement and continuous, you know, trial and error, continuous biohacking, continuous just trying to move the needle ever so slightly to see how I could better improve. And it was one day where I recall I just woke up, looked at myself in the mirror, and I actually felt better. Mental clarity, the brain fog, it was almost like a veil of symptoms had lifted. And at that same time, I saw more hair growth in the back, and something that I had to really have the help of my fiance at the time to look into each bald spot to see if there was any growth and to see the progress of, because it was something that, you know, having everything in the back, I couldn't see it. I could only see clumps of hair coming down the drain, as you had mentioned. And so tracking this, looking at the progress, looking at metrics, I kind of formulated this almost in real world terms of data and tracking. And that's how I finally got to my progress. That's how I was able to upgrade my fertility naturally, having my first child at 40 on the first try. That's how I can grow an inch of hair today in my mid 40s without any issue. And hair loss is truly a thing of the past. And I think that's the resilience and the tenacity, that once you stick to something, you're consistent and you're patient, then the outcome and the results will only get better and better.
And I did read some of the data on your clients as well. So not only did you have great results, you had to go through all of the things. It's the same story that I have. You know, we go through all of the things. We figure out our way and our footing. And then we're like, I did it. I made it. I made it to this point. And then, you know, you kind of struggle to stay there. But then at the same time, you're like, well, why did I go through all of this? I want to help other people. So you're helping all of these other people. And 90% of the people that you're working with now through Alopecia Angel have seen hair growth within 8 weeks. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's only 2 months, 2 months of your life that,
yeah,
it, you know, and you're making bio-individual changes based off of all of your research and going through it. Like you were saying before, these hairstylists, they only read, you know, a couple of sentences on how to identify different hair conditions, right? And how to identify alopecia. It's the same thing with nutrition and doctors. They spend maybe 4, maybe 8 hours in their studies focusing on nutrition. But really, some of them don't ever touch a book or a passage on nutrition at all. They really don't learn anything about it. When you live it and you go through it, you're able to help people at a much deeper level, because many of these doctors, like even oncologists, when they're first getting into oncology care, maybe they've had a loved one who's suffered from cancer or they have, you know, someone who's passed away from it, but they often haven't experienced cancer themselves.
Right.
And a lot of endocrinologists have never experienced alopecia, but they're treating patients with alopecia. So when you're working with your clients, what does that look like? You know, you're working in a group, are you working one-on-one? What are you doing for them?
It's a hybrid approach. When someone starts to work with me, we start with a 12-page intake form. I really want to get to know them. I have many questions to really understand who they are, where they came from. And lo and behold, because I do help people in various countries around the world, this will look different, so different from someone who's living in India or the Netherlands compared to the U.S. And even within the U.S., each state is very different and has their own complications and pros and cons. So once we have the intake form, I make my recommendations. They're going through modules within the program. And then from there, we're tracking. We're tracking with metrics. We're tracking their progress. We're tracking to see if their hair loss, but not just their hair loss, it's also their ancillary conditions. Because many times I see people and they have a second and a third autoimmune disease. Many times they may not have autoimmune alopecia, but maybe they have female pattern baldness and a second and a third autoimmune disease. Or maybe they have just some skin issues or maybe some digestive issues. So we're tracking all the progresses. Because as you know, once you start focusing on health, everything is getting upgraded little by little, right? And so once we start tracking, then we could see whether testing is necessary or not, or if that's the next step. I do offer testing worldwide, functional grade, gold standard testing. And this is the beauty, too, of Alopecia Angel, because being an expat, having lived abroad, not having insurance in either country or in either continent, and then being in limbo, this was probably one of the most difficult aspects of the healing journey, because I had to pay out of pocket for everything. And then on many times, especially in Europe, if you're not under that country's healthcare system, which tends to be universal, then you're just denied access. And so that is also a big hurdle. But then even so, even within the universal healthcare system, you're denied access if you want testing done or if you want to see a doctor. I had my pregnancy abroad at 40 and I never saw a doctor because, again, I was denied access. It's not their MO. It's not the protocol. It's not the procedure. And so it felt like corporate all over again, where, you know, there was all these barriers and roadblocks and red tape. And so I really want to make it available to everybody worldwide. We shouldn't have to jump through hoops just to get access, just to get testing, just to get a next step protocol. It shouldn't be this difficult. And it is abroad, extremely difficult. There are very, very few functional medicine doctors, and the ones that are out there potentially are not even focused on alopecia or have that expertise or experience. So that's the other situation that I see a lot, that many times I've had clients, they've worked with functional medicine doctors, they've worked with naturopaths, they worked with homeopathic practitioners, and yet either because of the experience, because of the expertise, or because of the testing that they're using, they're still not getting to the root causes.
It's amazing to me that you were diagnosed with an autoimmune condition by a hairstylist, yeah. Someone who may not have even gone to college.
Exactly.
Right? They go to beauty school. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it just goes to show how broken our medical systems have become and the need for someone like you who's creating programs, protocols, and individualized care for people. And you're not even a doctor, right? You're just an advocate. You're a patient who's gone through the hell and back, and you've learned so much. And now you're able to help people through your own knowledge and your own programming and planning. And I love that you're a data nerd like I am. I love that you're following people's journeys, that you're testing, you're not guessing, and that you make this available to people across the globe, because it's so vitally important. And I'm actually sitting here starting to think, like, you know, my doctor did me dirty. They only diagnosed me with two autoimmune conditions. I probably also had autoimmune alopecia as well, because my hair was falling out like literally in patches. I had one big patch about that big on the back of my head, but because the other things were so much worse, I guess is the word. I had a fever for 10 weeks. I basically couldn't get out of bed. I had crushing chest pain, So they said lupus, which is lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, because I had all the, you know, like the rheumatoid pain and stuff, and the gross fatigue. But now I'm thinking, like, there's so many autoimmune conditions. How do these doctors even pinpoint, you know, okay, this one's alopecia. Okay, this will obviously with the hair loss, but they didn't say anything about alopecia with me.
And that's the thing. Sometimes there are certain autoimmune diseases that like to buddy up. So RA, mm-hmm. MS, Hashimoto's, Graves' disease, any thyroid concerns also like to buddy up. Psoriasis, eczema likes to buddy up with alopecia as well. And so this is something that isn't necessarily common knowledge and maybe only a portion of people only really know.
So you also mentioned biohacking, because I've seen the buddying up of all of this stuff. And I've also seen what you described before, which is once you start addressing one thing, everything else seems to fall in line. Like you started to address your alopecia and then all of a sudden your fertility was rectified and you got pregnant at 40, which is amazing on your first try. There are so many people that have tried everything for any one of these conditions. And so if they start to address these things with biohacking, which I want to talk to you about, like what types of biohacking you do, and then the programs, the protocols, you know, the tracking of your gut health, of the food, your exercise, your lifestyle, what else can people do? Like what type of biohacking? Because there's so many different things that are out there. And you don't want everybody to just go crazy or spend their whole life savings just trying everything. So what is like the alopecia biohacking protocol?
So this is a great question, because you've said trying, and that's what a lot of people do. They try one thing, they try another, but they're not consistent. Mm. And I think that's where we need to have a marathon mindset versus a sprint mindset. And so healing this alopecia took me 4 years. And so due to that marathon mindset, even when I was at the lowest, even when I gave myself a day to cry it out, even when, you know, I had my very, very low days, I picked myself up and I kept picking myself up. And there was no one there to cheerlead me, to necessarily support me, except for my fiance. But even then, he wasn't going through alopecia. No one else is going through it except for you. And so it's really up to you to be your cheerleader and just continue to be consistent, continue to pick yourself up, because that's what it takes. It really takes a really strong mindset to keep going. And so that's first and foremost. I think a lot of times people want quick results, and we can see quick results and we can move the needle and make improvements quickly. However, it also takes action. And I think that's the other piece. You know, we're always waiting for the gadget to create the results for us, when maybe it's not the gadget. Maybe it's not the newest gadget. Maybe it's just really focusing on your diet and lifestyle. Maybe it's focusing on the sleep. Maybe it's focusing on key pieces that make everything else flow better. And so this is where, even with biohacking, I want to personalize this, because it goes into effect. You know, we have to look at time and budget and possibilities for them, and even like where they are. And so I love biohacking because it's also very individualized. We need to meet the person where they are. If this person can't move because they're in a wheelchair, okay, well, what options do we have? How can we make this easier for them? If they don't have any grass because they live in the tundra and it's just all ice all year long, like how can we make this better and easier for them? And so it's really adapting to each person and where they live. And even when going back to my program, living in the Netherlands or living in Japan, I didn't have access to Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, or even Amazon. The Amazon in the Netherlands and in Japan was 1/10 of what the Amazon is in the US in terms of diversity, in terms of possibilities, in terms of what you can access. And so this too, you start to see the limitations, even when it's just something so simple as organic food. It took me like 3 months to find an organic supermarket in Japan. And so that in and of itself was, you know, trial and error and then victory. But it just all depends, again, where you are and what your situation is. I've had clients who are living on cruise ships. and only have food that are that's available on the cruise ship. So wow. Think Carnival Cruise. Would you want to be eating that for 9-10 months because she's a professional, you know, ice skater and does the ice skating on the cruise ship? You know, so again, it has to be really tailored to each person because we're not living the same life. None of us are.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And consistency has always been key in anything. I heard someone say to me, because I'm a very impatient person, and I hate that answer that you just gave. I literally hate it. I wanted you to say, I do this, this, and this, and if you do that, you'll be perfect, right? That's how I've always dealt with my health. It's like, okay, well, yes, I'm going to try this, and then if it works, great, I'm going to keep doing that because it keeps working until it doesn't work anymore, and then I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to find something else to replace it. But that's not always how it works. When you plant a seed in your garden, you don't immediately get a tomato tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know, you have to wait for the harvest season. And your body goes through seasons too. So where you are right now, like that ice skater on the cruise ship, eventually she's going to come home.
Yep.
You know, or eventually she might get another gig ice skating in New York City, you know, at Madison Square Garden. Or maybe she'll retire. We go through changes in our life, not just when we're young, but as we get older too, our hormones change. My hormones changing because I was done having children after when I started to get sick, but I was still in my early 30s. I'd already had 3 kids in my 20s and my early 30s. My hormones completely were changing because my body was like, okay, girl, you had, you know, 4 pregnancies, 3 that worked out and, you know, 1 miscarriage, back to back to back. And now we've taken like a break. What's going on? My body was starting to freak out and like not know what to do. So my progesterone levels were going crazy. My estrogen, my testosterone was like in the basement. And I didn't know any of this. I didn't know where to start, what to try. I didn't have anyone who was telling me about bioindividual health. I didn't know like what to, I walk into Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, like you were saying, and I'm like staring at all the stuff. I'm like, I don't even know what to buy. And I'm a chef and I love to create things. But, you know, in the United States, our food systems are also broken. Our medical systems are broken. Our food systems are broken. You probably had a little bit of an easier time finding some good food in Europe. But then in Japan, you know, you're not only alone and on the other side of the planet from your friends and family, but you're also alone when it comes to knowing how to find the right food and things that can help you palliate your symptoms. So yes, consistency is key, but having a guide like you is so vitally important. It's also important for consistency because we need sometimes we need a coach. We need someone who's going to hold us accountable. We can't always do it for ourselves. We can do it when maybe we're in like an extraordinary amount of pain, but who wants to get there? Let's cut it off at the pass. You know, if someone had reached out to you like you right now and said, Johanna, let me guide you through this journey of alopecia and could have gotten you better in a matter of months instead of going through hell for many years, you would have been much better off. But you wouldn't have learned all the things and become that person for so many other people.
100%. I would even say that one of my probably best skills is looking for alternative solutions, looking for a workaround. This goes back to my tech background where you need to look for that third, that fourth, that fifth possibility and really scope out to see how can we find a solution that's creative and still allows people to get to their end goal. Whether it is, for example, I have a client in South Korea who lives on a military base, but she goes and comes back. And so getting her supplements and getting this and getting that, like all these things require creative solutions. And so I'm always thinking outside the box because that's what's really needed for many people around the world.
2 things that my mom always told me to that point. The first, everything's figure outable.
Yeah.
You can figure out anything. And I love that saying because now I get to pass that along to my children. When I was younger, you know, I was kind of a latchkey kid. My mom worked, my dad worked, they were divorced. And so I'd have to come home and figure out everything on my own. And this is before cell phones, this is before Uber Eats. And so I'd have to figure out what to eat. I'd have to figure out my homework on my own. And I think kids these days, they don't have to figure out anything on their own. They've got helicopter parents that are doing everything for them. And so if they ended up with a acute condition like alopecia, they wouldn't even know where to start, most of these kids these days. A lot of times when you're stuck in chronic illness, you end up borrowing all of the fear, the anxiety of, oh my gosh, what if my hair never grows back? What if I get worse? What if I don't find a solution? And so it's great that you have a program that helps people kind of stay consistent, do the work of the day, track their progress so that they can see that just by staying present and in the moment and doing what's bio-individually safe and efficacious for them, they can get better over time.
100%. And I think that's part of the problem of having kids who maybe go to YouTube or go online or just believe everything that's out there. This is part of the problem. There's a lot of misinformation in regards to health, in regards to wellness, in regards to what truly is healthy, in regards to how to heal something. Like, healing alopecia is not like building a house.
Right.
And even building a house has its own complications because we probably don't all have the same soil or the same foundation. And so this is part of the situation. And so when young, impressionable teenagers or young adults or even children are looking online and they're hearing, oh, alopecia has no cure, and they're believing what YouTube and Google say, this is part of the problem because there is a cure. It's just not going to be a one-size-fits-all pill, injection, or serum or shampoo. It's going to be a very different tailored situation for each person on their road to recovery and health.
So I do want to lean in. You know, it is bio-individual. Okay, I'll give you that. I didn't love your answer because I want, you know, the quick fix, just like everybody else wants the quick fix. But I also want to talk to you about like some of these biohacking modalities, because there is a lot of misinformation out there. People think that if they, that all red light is created equal, for example.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. And so you see these women with these red light masks walking around looking like science experiments in their living room and scaring the bejesus out of their children and their neighbors and their UPS delivery men. That could actually be creating more toxins. And it drives me crazy that people are like, oh, should I take a probiotic? Okay, which probiotic should I take? I just talked to my hairstylist and she's like, oh, I started taking glutathione because you told me about glutathione. I'm like, well, are you taking a binder? So that when the glutathione is like disrupting all the toxins in your body, you have to actually get it out of your body. So you need a binder, you need zeolite, you need, you know, activated charcoal, you need biocide and something that's going to like take all that gunk and then take it out of your body. So tell me about like some of the biohacking things and some of the icky parts of it that you found where people are just trying to make a quick buck selling people with chronic conditions like alopecia some fancy equipment, and then some of the things that you found that really do work.
I love biohacking, but again, there's a time and a place for it in their journey. So just like being pregnant, there's many things you can't do, you can't eat, you can't drink while pregnant. And I think the same thing happens for people in their current stage of either chronic disease, hair loss, or anything else. And so, for example, what I love about the U.S. is that we have these pop-up small businesses that offer IVs, that offer all the gadgets, that offer essentially a little biohacking center for people. But they're using this and taking people in like it's a gym membership. Like, go ahead, go use the dumbbells, go ahead and go use this equipment without A, taking a look or inventory on the person, not seeing what conditions they have, potentially even tailoring that experience to them and to their current conditions. Because A, that there could be problems with that. What if they have a heart condition and you're putting them into a sauna and the sauna is too hot for them and then they come out and they're fainting? Or, you know, they have a situation. And so these are things that I'm always thinking about. How can we more tailor and personalize the experience for each person? Because it can work against you. Just like intermittent fasting for women looks different for men. You know, men can do this every day and it's no big deal. But for women, because of our hormones, because of our cycles, even if you're in menopause, this is still something that we shouldn't be doing on a daily basis, because this can have a negative effect, or it can backfire. And so just like swimming, having those skills to swim is so important. But you can have a bad experience with swimming because maybe you were dunked and you shouldn't have been dunked, or maybe you kind of drowned, or, you know, and so then it scars you for life. And so in order to not have that scarring happen, I think these small businesses should really tailor this situation towards people. But there's a lot of things that I love. I love cryotherapy. I love sauna. I love grounding. I love being in the ocean. Being in the ocean growing up in Southern California was one of my favorite things. I absolutely love going to the beach. And I think there's so much healing that happens when you meet the sun, the water, the sound of the waves crashing. There's something just so pure, healing, and natural to that. This is probably why I lived in Rio and in Miami, and I just love beaches in general, right? I'm seeing the trend. But yeah. Outside of that, I also love to harness cryotherapy for my face. I also love giving blood. And I think giving blood is a big biohack that people are not really talking about. And there's a lot of things that we can do for free too that also allow us to upgrade our health. And for example, I stopped drinking alcohol. I stopped drinking alcohol over 6 years ago. And I don't look back. My husband is actually the one who started it. The day of our honeymoon, we were taking off and flying to the Seychelles. And he decided, well, you know what? I'm just going to stop drinking alcohol. And all of a sudden, I was just like, wait, it's our honeymoon. And so
you drink alcohol.
And so stopping that and really evaluating, what is this purpose? What is this doing for me? Do I really need it? Do I really miss it or crave it or love it? No, I don't. And I've also seen the beauty of it, the anti-aging, you know, beautiful effects without shelling out hundreds of dollars for a serum or for a cream, when it's really just eliminating things. And so.
So there's a lot of products that are trying to mimic real life experiences, right? So there's like grounding blankets. Instead of just going outside and putting your feet in the dirt or the grass, like you were saying before, some people live in the tundra, and so they do need the artificial way of getting grounded and neutralizing those free radicals while they're sleeping. And that is good for everyone, right? Then there's sunlight, which is different from red light. And a lot of people don't understand the difference between near and infrared light and sunlight. And the different types of sunlight. So you should get sunlight in the morning, so you get more of the UVB rays instead of the UVA rays, which you get, or do I have those confused? Anyway, whatever one gives you vitamin D, right? Because you need vitamin D for everything, and you need it especially for your hair and your skin and for all of your cells to be healthy, right? Your immune system. And then you were talking about halo therapy, swimming in the ocean, absorbing all of the minerals from the ocean. I heard someone tell me that if you swim in the ocean for 30 minutes, you absorb all of the vitamins and nutrients that you need for an entire month.
Wow.
Just by swimming in the ocean for 30 minutes. And then if you sit on the shore and you're breathing in the salt air, that's basically like halo therapy. That's helping to open up your lung capacity. It's actually healing your skin. It's anti-inflammatory. It's antibacterial. So a lot of these biohacking tools, you can get out in nature and you can get them for free. It's just consistency, and it's putting yourself in the right place. Some people don't have access to it, and so they need to supplement. You know, they need to get a red light panel in order to heal down to the subdermal layer, or to stimulate the ATP production in their body to have their cells be healthy and support their mitochondria. There's so many tools out there that can give you the same effect of just going outside and sleeping better and swimming in the ocean and planting your feet in the ground, eating clean food, drinking clean water. So tell me about your upcoming course that you have coming up.
So I have the Hair and Heal program, which opens up only a couple times a year. The Hair and Heal is an 8-week program, tracks and measures your results and follows you along with expert guidance, support, coaching calls, and of course, the personalization that's needed, the intake form, the recommendations, and helping you meet you where you're at so that you can upgrade your hair and your health in less time. And this is where, if you're having any type of hair loss, the shedding stops anywhere between 2 to 6 weeks. If you are looking for hair growth, 90% see hair growth in less than 2 months. But the key factor here is the consistency, is the following the recommendations and implementing, right? And so this is not a gadget that's going to do the work for you. This is us implementing what needs to change in our lives.
So now a lot of people are probably thinking, what do I have to do? Do I have to give up drinking? Do I have to start putting my feet in the ground? Do I have to swim in the ocean for 30 minutes a month? Tell me more about the actual program.
So I've helped people in numerous different life situations, people who've lived in hotels because of their work, who live on the cruise ship because of their work, moms who are single with 4 kids. So regardless of your situation, this can be adapted to you and it goes at your own pace. And I understand that not everyone is going to want to go fast and furious. And so it can work at your own pace. But even if we move the needle just a little bit, this is where progress happens. This is where we start to see results. And that's what we all want. We all want results. But it's not going to come necessarily from a laser cap or from, you know, the minoxidil or the Rogaine or even the one size fits all supplements. And so this is part of the problem, is because a lot of times we're not looking at what is going to work for us. We're just blindly thinking that it's going to work for us. And we continued at this vicious cycle of disappointment and continued hair loss. But once we start looking at a personalized approach, this is where the magic happens.
And how much does this course cost?
Currently, it's $24.97.
Cheaper than a red light panel, some red light panels. That's a lot cheaper than going through years of illness and trying a lot of other nonsensical things. A lot of people that I know are flying. You know, I have this former client and friend who her husband just got sick with an autoimmune condition and then also got cancer on top of it. And she's been flying them over to Turkey and to Switzerland to get all of these crazy treatments. And it comes with you. Also, you're working with these people, you're finding supplements in South Korea for someone who can't access supplements, right? You're finding ways for people to get the support and the help that they need and to hold them accountable as well. And that's invaluable. Honestly, I would have spent, I did spend way more than that in my own health and healing journey. And it was super painful. And I was alone doing it, just like you were, you know?
Exactly.
June 11th, you open it up to people to enroll. Okay.
Correct.
And so it's rolling enrollment. You don't have to start on a specific date. You sign up and then you can kind of start whenever you want.
You can sign up and you can start whenever you want. I understand summertime has, you know, vacation time and it has a lot of downtime for people. So if you wanted to sign up and then start, let's say after your vacation, that is also accommodating to you. It's very flexible in terms of how the person wants to learn, how the person wants to heal, and at their own pace.
And do you see a direct correlation between how much effort people put in to how quickly they're able to heal?
I think that's with everything.
Yeah.
That's with everything. You know, if you want the job promotion, if you want to learn a new language, if you want to travel abroad, if you want to run the marathon, we need to set aside the excuses and really see, do we really want this? This is why people go through 3 and 4 rounds of IVF, because they want that baby. This is why, quote unquote, people, when they've come to me, they've seen already 5 to 10 doctors. They've tried it all, quote unquote. And yet when they come to me, they truly haven't tried it all. We all have blind spots. And that's part of the problem. That's part of the hardest part to dissect here is the blind spots. We all have them. And I have people who are nutritionists, who are dietitians, who are nurses, who are functional medicine doctors, who are DOs, who are pharmacists. And even within their background in healthcare industry, we still have blind spots because we're human.
Right.
We can't pick out exactly what we're doing wrong to make this faster, quicker, more streamlined. I had a gut health coach who just signed up with me. She's a gut health coach in Australia. She's been working and helping people for over 20 years. And in just the first 24 hours of me giving her a handful of recommendations, her hair loss stopped in just 24 hours. So the thing is, our body wants to heal. It's about how we're supporting it. And she clearly, you know, took out some things. And many times we need to eliminate many things in order to move forward. So I think that's also the key. It's like, what can we do to move the needle? And so in my case, a lot of the biohacks come from eliminating things. I've eliminated, like I mentioned, the alcohol, negativity, people. I mean, the list goes on and on. Like, I've eliminated a lot of things. Yes, absolutely.
Well, when you're eliminating toxins, I mean, your relationships is actually where you should look first, right? A lot of your emotional toxins, your endotoxins, your lymphatic being stuck and all of that comes from the people that you surround yourself with. And I love what you said about doctors and other practitioners. And many people don't seek out healing when they're feeling okay. They're kind of like on the fence. They don't go all in. But just like you were saying about getting pregnant, as soon as someone says, you know, you need to have IVF because or else you're not going to have a baby, that triggers the pain, right? So don't wait until it's too late. Take responsibility for your health now. That's another thing my mom said. I'm just talking about my mom this whole episode. So she would always say, you can't complain about something unless you're willing to do something about it. You know, like I'd come
home from
school and say like, oh, my teacher did this, my friends did that. All right, Lindsay, well, what are you going to do about it? What's your plan? You know, are you going to go talk to your teacher? Like, my mom never called up the school on my behalf. All of these parents, like, I know friends of mine who have kids in college, and they're like, oh, I'm going to call the dean. I'm like, don't call the dean. What's wrong with you? Like, let your kid grow up and take responsibility for themselves. If they're complaining about something, they have to be willing to do something about it. And it's the same in our health. If we're going to complain about something, we better damn well be willing to do something about it.
The other flip side to that is those who don't complain because they want to muscle through it. And so then, just like in many other situations where they have one and two health concerns nagging at them and they're not really going all in because they look, you know, tied together. But then once they start having the hair loss being a side effect to their situation, then that's when they start, you know, scrambling and wanting an answer. Because let's say if you have Hashimoto's or thyroid, well, no one's really going to notice. It's not labeled on you. But when you have hair loss, people notice. And this affects how you show up at work, at school, with your friends, with your hobbies, in your relationships and dating, in all aspects of your life. It shows up whether you go out on a windy day, whether you actually go swimming or not. And so because of this, then they start to put in more action and motivation. But we shouldn't have to wait until that point. We should be doing things sooner. I actually have a close relative who recently, you know, has had many nagging situations. And then all of a sudden, it got to the point where he was having almost like a heart attack. And so lo and behold, he needed emergency surgery because these arteries were clogged. Well, this could have been prevented more than likely had you gotten testing, had you gotten your checkups, had you gotten and taken proactive work on yourself.
Yeah, proactive measures. It's interesting that we're also vain. It's when our skin starts to fall apart, like when we start to get wrinkles, you know, that's when we start to think, oh, well, maybe I'm dehydrated. Maybe I should drink some hydrogen water, you know, or we get acne. Well, maybe I'm drinking too many toxins or eating too much toxic food or seed oils or whatever. Maybe I should eliminate that because it's showing on my face. It's the same with your hair. You know, once your hair starts falling out, you say, oh, well, that's interesting. I don't have it. And no one in my family has hair loss, or maybe this person had hair loss. Maybe this is an indication of something deeper that's going on. But it usually comes down to how we look and not necessarily how we feel. I always tell people, like, I've always been this skinny. I've been a skinny person my whole life. And when I was a kid, I used to get letters home from the school to my parents saying, are you feeding your daughter? Because she is way too skinny. And so my dad at the time would like
bet me $100 that I couldn't eat like a whole pizza, like a whole huge extra large pizza. And so I would sit there eating a whole pizza, and then I'd have like two Carnation instant breakfast plus eggs plus pancakes plus bacon and sausage for breakfast in the morning.
Wow.
And then I'd eat like whole pounds of pasta. I'd eat burgers and fried chicken and like all of the things that I could possibly eat. If I went to McDonald's, I'd get two Happy Meals, not just one, because everybody was so concerned about me looking a certain way. Meanwhile, I wasn't gaining any weight because my gut was a mess, even when I was a kid.
Wow.
And when you have leaky gut, you're not absorbing any nutrients. So you can't get healthy and you can't gain weight. Now I'm actually at a very healthy weight. I feel good. I think I look better. I think you and I are about the same age. I'm going to be 44 in a couple of months. And I get stopped all the time. I was just in the hair salon and this woman next to me was like, "You look like you're 16. What skincare do you use?" And I'm like, well, it's not just about my skincare. And I went into like the whole spiel about eating healthy and making sure that my gut health is on point. I'm getting enough sleep and I'm grounding and blah, 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 and all the things that I'm doing. And she's like, "Oh, can I follow you on social media so I can get all of these tips and tricks?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, of course. You know, I'd love for you to try to do the things that I'm doing." But again, it's consistency. You got to do it. You got to stick to it. And you've got to take responsibility for your own health journey and health optimization.
100%, because no one's coming to save you.
Nope.
And that's the thing. We unfortunately give our power away to doctors, thinking that they have the end-all be-all solutions for us, that they have the end-all be-all answers for us, when in many times we have the answers within.
Always. We always have the answers within. And so it's just a matter of finding the angels like you who can help get us started. Because getting started is the hardest part. And knowing where to start and having the support, the expertise. There's not a lot of it out there when it comes to alopecia except for you. So Johanna, tell us where to follow you. Tell us where to check out your courses.
You can find me at alopeciaangel.com, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Also, my podcast, Alopecia Angel, Awaken to Hair Growth, is on anywhere you can find a podcast as well.
And then how often are you running your programs?
It's only a couple times a year. So this is the second time and probably the last time this year.
Okay. So if you miss 2025, you're going to have to get on board for 2026. So if that's
correct,
any motivation for you to put your excuses to the side, like you were saying, Johanna, this is the time to do it.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing your energy, and helping all of us better understand that there is hope out there. A lot of people are feeling very hopeless at the moment, and you give a lot of people hope. So I'm really grateful to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Lindsay, for all that you do and for highlighting not just me, but other beautiful people who are also educating and making impact in the world.
Well, it's my pleasure. You're doing the work, and I appreciate you. And I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.